All the recorders are on.
We have just a couple minutes, y'all.
I was going by that clock up there.
And Tina, she's involved in this stuff.
I know.
What?
Just agree.
No, I don't disagree. I have learned a long time ago not to do that, especially around my bunch. Good morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and open our Liberty County School Board workshop. We're going to open up with prayer and pledge by Mr. Petty and Mr. Reddick. Everyone will stand.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for today. We thank you, God, that it's the day that you've made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. We pray, God, that you would bless us today, Father, as we go through this workshop. We pray, God, for Lord, have your heart. Lord, in our conversation with one another, may it be pleasing to you. I pray, God, that we'd be able to hammer out the things that need working out, Father, to make our school system more efficient. Lord, we pray for all of our leadership here. We pray for our kids this summer. Lord, that you'd protect them and their families. We pray for those, God, that in our community that's lost loved ones this week, Lord, especially the little one that's in hospital. We pray for that family. God, just pray your blessings upon them. Lord, bless our time and fellowship together in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We are here this morning to discuss educator certification requirements. We have a packet here. Does everybody have their packet? Okay. Mr. Summers, do you want to open the meeting up or?
I can if that's what Board Chair would like me to do. Real quickly, this workshop, as Chairman Tina just mentioned, we're addressing an area that is very crucial to our district, and that is our hiring procedures. And we all are in agreement that we want the best employees that we can possibly employ in the Liberty County District to meet the needs of our kids. There was an issue as to a challenge about how we have been hiring employees, and whether or not a degree or certification was required at the beginning of the hiring process. We have basically shut down the district office for 2 days as we have been back and forth with DOE. We have been back and forth with attorneys, Joy Frank, Bob Harris. David has assisted us as he assists y'all, the board, as well. We've tried to do a good job because we're not perfect. And I'll be the first one to say that. I have made many mistakes through the years. I will be the first to admit one, and if one were so proven, I'll take the heat. I'm paid to take the heat. I'll take the heat. We felt from the start that we were on high ground. We felt like that this was something that we could have approached in a much different way, not a threatening, challenging way, but a way that would be teamwork, which is what we're all about. But we addressed it regardless of how it was approached. And we feel like today that we are even on higher ground. I sought the opinion of Bob Harris, who is a very distinguished attorney. He is contracted through PAEC, works at a prestigious law firm in Tallahassee, but he does subcontracting. His major area is Department of Education issues, which hiring would be one of them. So he would be considered an expert in the field. I have waited patiently for about 2 days for his remarks back to what our request was for a legal opinion on the situation that we have. And I got it yesterday afternoon late. Let me share this with y'all. This involved a employee that had had a statement of eligibility, which we believed in accordance with statutes and EOE policies would have been fine for that 1 year. But then I sent the information over to him. It took him a while to review it and go back through and look at every angle of it. He did so, and if you read that carefully, I believe you will see that he sided with us in the administrative side, that we did nothing improper, that we kind of stand on that as a final. I got an equal response from Joy Frank. I don't have that in writing, but you know, I could get one in writing if I needed it. But she defers to Bob in most cases. So that's kind of where we are, guys. Can we do a better job? Yes. We're already looking into how we can make our hiring procedure even better. And that's what it's all about. That's what y'all are here for. And that's what I'm here for. We're to bounce things by each other and make iron sharpens iron. And that's what we're to do. And I hope that that this settles this issue. We can move forward. And then as we get into the modifications we want to make in the hiring procedure, we'll bring those in front of you, of course, and get a consensus that this will be a better, even better than we got. But as far as legalities, I see no illegality whatsoever through DOE or any other agency. That's kind of where I'm at.
Thank you. Does anyone have any other questions or input or anything they'd like to say?
I'll go ahead and share. I'm the one that brought this to the attention of the superintendent, assistant superintendent. I requested, I got information that we possibly had a teacher who taught this year without a certificate. In my research, just trying to figure it out, I found out that the teacher didn't, the teacher in question. I just had a simple question for the assistant. I asked Mr. House to accompany me for accountability as well as legal accountability, but also personal accountability. The question was, can the Liberty County School District or any district in the state of Florida, can they hire somebody without a valid teaching certificate to be an instructor? I've read this, and that is an opinion. At the end of the day, that is an opinion, and a very, I'm sure, well thought out opinion. I'm not sure exactly what Mr. Harris was asked to give that response. I'm sure he responded what he was asked. I've gone through this process. I've been a certified teacher before. 23 years ago, I made application to DOE for a teaching certificate. So I know the process because I've been through it. I didn't think it had changed, but my question was, I thought everybody had to have if you're going to be an instructor, do you have to have a teaching certificate to be hired? That's the question. I mean, it's not a personal attack on anybody within the district. It's an honest, open question about the way we do business. Do you have to have a valid teaching certificate to be an instructor? I still haven't got an answer to that, but if you look, rather than look to opinions of attorneys, we have something called the Florida statutes, and something's been provided today, and it's an excellent thing that I also have looked up as well. Florida statutes pretty clear, in my opinion. I'm not an attorney, but I can read that says, you know, who has to have a teaching certificate. And anybody, I mean, it's very clear, guidance counselors, librarians, instructional staff. In our own system, we have instructional staff, we have non-instructional staff. What's the difference? Well, the instructional staff have typically, with the exception of vocational teachers, at times have teaching certificates. The question is, do you have to have a valid teaching certificate when you make application? Can we hire somebody in an instructional position without a teaching certificate? So it's more than just this one case. And talking with the assistant superintendent and Mr. Summers, we found out that there was actually some other people that were hired who were hired without demonstrating or without holding a valid teaching certificate. If you go to DOE's website, to me that's kind of a, I guess they're the kind of people that do this for a living on a state level. They have frequently asked questions on their DOE website. Question: Do I need a certificate to teach in Florida? You can click on it. You must hold a certificate to teach in Florida's public schools and many private schools. I thought that was common knowledge. If I'm wrong on this, I will admit publicly and apologize to everybody in the room. I thought you had to have a teaching certificate. I put that in an email to Mr. Geiger, one of the first emails when I started this process. Mr. Geiger, did we hire somebody without a valid teaching certificate? I thought it was common knowledge. If you go on the front page, and this is all easy to find, if you look on there, the purpose of Florida Education Certification is to support the academic achievement of our students by assuring that our educators are professionally qualified for highly effective instruction. Florida educators must be certified to teach in our public schools. That's what the statutes say. If you go to, now we've been provided this morning in part of our packet, somebody who applied back in sometime, I guess, July or August of last year, was deemed ineligible. It's in the packet. You are not eligible for a teaching certificate, but they made application on May 27th of this year.
She was not eligible for elementary ed. She
correct. Elementary. Correct. But that's what they were applied in. That's what they didn't have. According to the records, speak loud. That person did not have a valid teaching certificate.
And you don't get one. Okay, can I, hired?
Madam Chair? Can I finish? Please, thank you. When they were hired, they didn't have a valid teaching certificate. That is a fact. That is a fact. In fact, after they were hired in August, in your packet, it says there's a statement of eligibility. That statement of eligibility is a twofold prong thing. It's either going to tell you you're eligible for a certificate or you're not eligible for a certificate. It's clear in there. You're not eligible for a certificate. If you go to DOE's website, it says, what do you do? Steps to take if you are deemed not eligible. It says it right here. It says you must qualify. This is off DOE's website. You must qualify for at least a temporary certificate to be employed as a teacher. Okay? So my opinion, as a layperson, as a school board member, former teacher, is that you have to have that, you have to hold it. If you just continue to read chapter 10, 12, 55, you have to hold that, because positions for which certificates are required, you have to hold it in the front. You got to have it when you get hired. Our own, let me just read this, because I've made some notes here and I didn't bring my glasses, so my apologies. Let me just quote some of the law here. It doesn't seem that difficult. 10.12.32, if he or she is employed in an instructional capacity, must not be eligible for such employment under statute 10.12.315, and must, when required by law, hold a certificate or license under the rules of the State Board of Education. 10.12.33, each person employed as a member of the instructional staff in any school district system shall be properly certified pursuant to section 10.12.56. 10.12.335, section 2, subsection 1. And here's the other thing about why you got to have it up front. An annual contract may be awarded only if the employee holds an active professional certificate or temporary certificate pursuant to 10.12.56. Does the person have it at the time they're hired? That's the question nobody seems to be able to answer for me. I read that as you got to have a valid teaching certificate when you get hired to be able to be awarded an annual contract.
And I looked at that too. And yeah. You can argue both sides of it, because the way that I'm being told and educated on it is, and I'm going to take me for example. I'm a degreed bachelor person, but not an education, and I decide I want to teach at any public school in the state of Florida. So I go apply for a job because I have a degree, not an education. To my understanding, I can't go to DOE and say, hey, can I go ahead and apply for my teaching certificate because I want to apply for this job over here? To my knowledge, you can't apply for that until you've already been hired in a teaching position, in a teaching capacity. So I would have to go through a background check, meet the education requirements as far as having an education, meet those requirements, and then once I pass background, fingerprint, and all of that, again, this is how it was spelled out to me, that then administration at whatever school you're at will then apply for a temporary certificate for you. That's when Department of Education says, okay, they've met the requirements, they're in a teaching capacity, we say you are eligible for one or you're not eligible for one, and then there's a time frame that they can get it. Mm-hmm. That's how it's explained to me numerous times. And the statute doesn't say at what time you have to have it. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, you can argue both sides, and you're right, it's subjective, it's opinion-based. Mm-hmm. And if you go back, even last year, the year before, several years back,
I agree. Several superintendents
back, several administration differences back, it's all been done the same way.
Let's look at our Liberty County School Board policy, 3120. This is our own policy.
Yes.
Any person employed as a member of the instructional staff shall hold a valid Florida teaching certificate, except as noted elsewhere in policy. Our other places would be like vocational teachers.
Right.
That's our policy. I don't see a lot of wiggle room in that. 3120, school board recognizes that it is vital to the successful operation of district that positions created by the board be filled with highly qualified and competent personnel. Any person employed in an instructional position requiring certification shall possess a valid certificate issued. My question is, mm-hmm. Can we hire people without a valid teaching certificate in instructional positions? That's the question.
I would personally say yes.
Okay. I hear what you're saying.
If as long as they meet those requirements within the time frame that we and the state set forth.
Okay, is there any statutory allowment for that?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't see anywhere in the state where it says there's a period here where you cannot be certified. You can go ahead and instruct in the state of Florida without a teaching certificate, and during some period of time, whatever the time we've been given, obviously it's been a year, you can go ahead and get your temporary certificate, and then you're okay. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, don't you have to have it up at front?
No. My opinion is no.
That's my question. Look, please, don't shoot the messenger. Mm-hmm. I'm just asking the question. That's what my meeting was about.
I got a question. I do a little research, too. And I go back to Wakulla County, your first year of teaching, mm-hmm. hired in August. Mm-hmm. Your temporary certificate was issued December 29th, 1994. Mm-hmm. To me, on the surface, that means that you worked a half a year without a temporary certificate. All right. Good for the goose is good for the gander.
I can address that for you, okay? And I figured y'all would look that up. That's good.
Oh, yes.
20 plus years ago, little different thing on the issue there.
You're standing on the principle, I think.
Absolutely. I would testify in a court of law, if asked, that I received a statement of eligibility that said you are eligible for a teacher certificate.
That's what I said.
In August. No.
Oh, in August.
In August, it didn't say that. When did the statement of eligibility for this teacher, when was it issued?
I'd like to see that.
Got it right here. Oh, I don't have it. But if it's there, you feel free to go get it. Both colors should have it in my personnel file.
Back when I'm saying, you're giving us your opinion, and I value that.
Okay, that's all I'm asking.
The opinion of a trained, experienced, subject area mastered lawyer. Mm-hmm. Why are you still hammering away trying to give us your opinion? We've already got an opinion that is higher on the totem pole than yours.
Because I want our district to be right.
I've already said that I want to make any changes that will make
I believe you, Ms. Summer.
I've already said
that.
It's already been said.
I believe
you. Why do you need to repeat everything that you're saying?
Mr. House, and asking about this. Number one, it started out with just a question. Are we doing this? Is this right? Is this legal? Okay.
Right.
He asked me, maybe there's something we're missing. He's doing his job. Maybe there's something we're missing. Call some neighboring school districts. See if that's kosher with them. I did that. Not one. I called Leon County. I called Gulf County. I called Franklin County. Karen Petty, our, you know, one of our own, is a human resource. No, you can't hire without a certificate. They got to have a certificate to be hired. And so I'm just telling you, I had a question. I continue to have a question. And look, I'm okay with, I'm not convinced of that. I respect your opinion, y'all's opinion. I respect that. And if I'm wrong, I will stand up in front of everybody and say, I was wrong. I missed the mark here. I'm not beyond doing that. But I'm not convinced of that based on what I read on the statute that says you got to have a teaching certificate to be hired.
We'll call that lawyer and tell him he don't know what he's talking about.
That's not what I'm saying.
We got somebody that does.
No, I'm just looking at the statute.
Now, kind of based on what I see in the statute, even if they don't meet the requirements or have a certificate, if they've got that official statement of status of eligibility.
You can't even get that until after you're hired, though.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the loophole. That's how the state of Florida in public schools gets around with the teacher shortage that they have to hire people and then get them certified or eligible for a certification.
Right.
That's the loophole. And would we like for everybody that applies for a teaching position to be educated in education already and that they already have all of that? Heck to the yeah.
All of us.
I mean, ultimately, if you go back to even during that hiring period and you look at every name on that list, to fill all the teaching positions that we had available, every person on there was hired. Because we need them. We needed them. It was a hiring process to where everybody had a chance to apply. We had even people that held education certificates and degrees in education could have applied for that. And everybody on that list was hired. And I understand kind of what you're saying, Kyle. Please don't dismiss that. I would love to be able to say we sit here and hire only people that have degrees in education and already from past year, maybe from teaching somewhere else, have a temporary certificate good with DOE. That's not always going to be the case. It's not until the law changes that says they have to have a degree and already be, I mean, it has to be spelled out that way. I believe the law was put that way because they knew. I think at some point, at some quiet place, and I didn't research that far back as to when was it changed. How was that developed? Has there been changes in it? And why? Versus, because I know back when I was in school, we didn't have a shortage. We didn't have it. Teachers that were teaching, and I'm talking, that's been a while back, were certified or they were their education, they went to school to become a teacher. It's not that way now. The demands of education and teaching are totally different versus 20, 30 years ago. Yes, sir.
You know, just having been an instructor and came through this process, I hope this helps, but he can correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. House, but when I started in 06, Kyle, Karen Petty was actually over the teacher certification program that we had in place, and my degree was in business, but I got hired. And actually, I believe Mr. Summers was the superintendent when I got hired, but what she gave me either 2 years to get my master's, to get my certification, or 3 years to do the alternative cert program. Yeah. I chose the master's, but during that process, I had to do the statement of eligibility, which all they really asked you is, do you have a four-year degree? Do you have any kind of criminal background, stuff like that? So I got my statement of eligibility, but I couldn't get a temporary certificate until I was actually offered employment. Because I tried in the summer, and I couldn't get it until I actually had the job. I didn't get the job until September. So I had to wait before I could even get that certificate to get it hired.
And now it may be something with the Department of Education that needs to be updated and changed, that they change that. That they can apply for it before they're hired. They can, you know, if somebody can go and say, I want to apply for a teaching position.
If you look at DOE's website, there it says becoming a teacher, step 3 says you've got to have employment.
I've looked at it.
So if you get employment and during maybe the first 2 or 3 weeks of your employment, you get a statement from the DOE that says you're not eligible for a teacher certificate, what should the district do with that?
No, you'll get the statement
first
of eligibility before you even get hired.
Well, no, the statement of eligibility in this case came afterwards, after the hire date.
Can I go over there to the state department and ask for a statement of eligibility to give them my
You have to make application.
I don't think you personally, I don't think you personally can. I think
the RANs, I think, applies for it.
I think that the person, I'm pretty sure that your hiring agency is the one that has to apply for you.
For the statement of eligibility.
Correct. You personally cannot go and ask Department of Education for your own statement of eligibility. You cannot do that.
Okay, so we have these job openings. I have a degree in basket weaving. So I want a job, so I apply. RANSA is going to
apply.
I have to be hired, or I apply? Well, I would think that you would need to be hired, because why would we go ask for eligibility for every applicant?
No. You have to be hired.
Yeah.
Okay, so they hire me, and they apply for a statement of eligibility, and I want elementary education. Now, this is what's bothered me with, I guess, the State Department. I'm not sure where I'm aggravated about this. So they apply, and my statement of eligibility comes. Now, they put me to work. They hire me, and they put me to work as a teacher. My statement of eligibility comes, and it says, you are not eligible for an elementary education temporary certificate. Oh, my God, what do we do? I have to pass a test. So I run over there and pass that test, and I don't. I'm still not eligible. I don't have a temporary.
Still working.
So I try again. All the while, somebody somewhere knows that I could get one in basket weaving, but nobody bothered to tell me that. Because I'm teaching third grade, I applied for elementary ed, and they tell me I'm not eligible for that. Oh, well, about November or December, maybe even January, somebody figures out that I could have gotten one in basket weaving, so I go over there and apply for that and get it. My thing is, if I send my stuff over there, or RANSA does, or whoever, somebody ought to look at that and say, Ms. Davis, you don't apply, you can't get one in elementary, but you can get one in basket weaving. Then immediately I would know I could get my temporary in something and go ahead and do it. But nobody bothers. Maybe if I go over there myself, maybe I could get somebody to look at me and tell me what I could get my temporary in. Maybe that's what I should do. But here I am trying to work through the system. I'm teaching school. Nobody is seemingly letting these people know what they can get one in when they apply. You know what? But maybe we need to, I'm just thinking out loud here. Maybe we need to think about how we would hire and pay someone who doesn't have what it takes to get a temporary until they do. I mean, they're in the process of trying to get this done. They're not trying to
teach
without doing the right thing. But maybe there's a process the district could go through and say, you know, you have this letter of eligibility. If it says you can have one, then we're good, because you're going to get it when they bother to send it over here. RANSA will send it straight to me whenever, because I work with first year teachers. As soon as she gets it, she sends it to me. We know we got one. Then, but we'll get a letter of eligibility that says that you can't get one in elementary education until you pass this elementary education test. I go over there. At that point, we're having a teacher teach without a certificate. And we just found out she didn't qualify for it. So what are we going to do about that?
That's my question in a nutshell. That's what I brought to. That was my question. Can we do that?
Why couldn't we hire them? Why couldn't at that point they be hired as a paid and hired or whatever makes it legal? as a long-term sub until they get over there and pass that test and get their certificate, or get over there with their stuff in their hand and say, talk to me and tell me what I can
and
do.
And I think at this point, that's when I can't say for everybody, but I have discussed with administration at that point, like, what can we make better as that? But the question was, can she even be there? Can she even be teaching?
The answer is yes.
And the answer is yes. But what do we do, like what you're talking about, after the fact? And that's the process. Can we hire her? Yeah, that was, to me, reading and searching and researching and asking people that know what they're talking about. Because I'll be honest, I didn't know. I had to educate myself. We could hire her.
So y'all are telling me that I have to be hired and the district will apply for the certificate
yes.
or for the letter of eligibility? For the certificate?
Both.
And the letter of eligibility then comes to us and says, yeah, you can get a certificate or no, you can't. But the district has to apply for that letter.
Correct.
And that's my question. So when they come back and say you're not eligible, what do?
We put them into the process that they can get their certification.
Ms. Gill, I think this issue made some good points. Me and Ms. Davis was talking the other day, like at the prison, we hire you as a TEA. When you go to school and get certified, you get the more money. You don't get the money until you get certified. And Ms. I think Mr.
Right.
Summers and the staff is working towards to do that. So they get the people the incentive to go ahead and get what they need get the money.
But the TEAs are working in the capacity
as
a correctional officer.
The TEA that the prison's already on.
They're in the capacity working.
When they go to school and get certified, then they get the extra money. And I think that's a great idea here for this.
And to me, ideally, no. I mean, I'll be the first person to stand up and say, I would rather my child be educated by somebody that has a teaching certificate or somebody that went to school to be a teacher. I'll be the first person to say that. But can we do that in this small rural district? No.
Okay,
no.
So
not always.
So if we hire somebody who does not have an education major, now see, if I graduate college and I've got an education major, I can apply for a certificate and I get one. Praise the Lord. There is, I think, they don't do that. They got to get hired to even get that.
Correct.
But I get me one. But if I'm in something else and the district hires me, are you going to hire me anticipating that I'm going to get one as a teacher, or should I be hired at that point as a long-term sub until I get my letter of eligibility saying, yes, you can get one.
I think that's a change that we probably could talk about making, and making an incentive program that within this we have all maybe talked about and a lot have
now,
thought that's a good idea.
Now, the DLA is notorious for dragging their feet. So if Ranza and Seth applies for my letter of eligibility,
You're not
going to
be
August.
About 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay, so I'm going to be if we do this, I'm just playing here. So I'm going to be a temporary sub, I understand that, until that letter of eligibility shows up.
Correct.
And when it says, yes, you can get a temporary certificate, at that point, I'm then hired as a teacher, because my certificate's on the way. But if my letter of eligibility says you are not able to get this, I'm still a long-term serve.
Correct.
Until I jump through whatever hoop,
they
or
require.
Until I get somebody to tell me what I can get a temporary in.
Correct.
We actually started doing that back in December, paying this long-term serve.
Well, let me ask this to y'all. We've got a couple that, I mean, they one of them asked for a temporary in English, was not eligible for that, and then later found out, oh, well, if you'd have tried for history, you could have gotten it. And then we had one tried for elementary ed, and she wasn't eligible, and now all of a sudden she can get it in something else. Why can't we make somebody say, You know, if you're not eligible for elementary ed, one of our ladies found out real early, and I don't know how. I don't know how she knew. But she found out real early she was eligible for a K-6 English and went right ahead and got that. So why did she know and these other two didn't
right.
until way later?
And that's a process that I believe we can make better.
Now, if you're paying me long-term sub and I'm not eligible, I'm going to go somewhere and find out how I can get eligible so I can get my bigger pay. Maybe, you know,
some people would, Miss Jill. Some people would. Some people wouldn't, because some people would just be like, I don't know what to do.
Right.
Some people would. Some people would take that ball in their court and say, I'm going to go find out what I got, and you're going to have some people that's going to sit there and be like, well, I'm just doing what they tell me to do.
They don't know what to do.
Because they don't know.
And it depends on who you talk to at DOE.
That's right.
Because it's all subjective. It's an opinion, every bit of it. You can't get a straight answer.
When my wife was trying to get a job, this one told her she had to get these classes. The next year when she got back, she took a bunch of these classes. The classes changed the next year. Then the third year, they changed again. And she said, how do you ever get it? You know, so finally track somebody down that says, no, you should have took this, and that's what you need. And she didn't have none of them from all the other classes she was taking. I mean, it's Department of Education is messed up. It's
frustrating.
It's frustrating. And for new employees, I understand that. So my wife and my daughter went through it. So, you know, I'm kind of familiar with all of this for them to work through it.
Yeah.
That's a good point you made there, Jill. We can streamline a bunch of different areas. One is with those employees, those new employees, to help them along better. We're going to do a better job at that. But also in policy, we can look at, you know, we can look at having in policy. There again, we'll bring it back to y'all and let y'all look at it. Let's work together to get the best one we can. That's
okay. What I meant. Do we have anybody else? Okay. If we're not, we'll ask for an adjournment. Motion by Mr. Riddick, second by Mr. Hayes. Thank y'all.